translation and purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. O Supreme Controller, Your Lordship previously accepted incarnations as a fish, a horse, a tortoise, Narasimhadev, a boar, a swan, Lord Ramachandra, Parashuram, and among the demigods, Vamanadev. And among the demigods, Vamanadev, to protect the entire world by your mercy. Now, please protect us again by your mercy, by diminishing the disturbances in this world. O Krishna, best of the Yadus, we respectfully offer our obeisances unto you. Purport. In every incarnation, the Supreme Personality of Godhead has a particular mission to execute, and this was true in his appearance as the son of Devaki in the family of the Yadus. Thus all the demigods offered their prayers to the Lord, bowing down before him, and requested that the Lord do the needful. So we cannot order the Supreme Personality of Godhead to do anything for us. We can simply offer him our obeisances, as advised in the Bhagavad Gita. Man mana bhava mad bhakto mad yajimam namaskaru. And pray to him for the annihilations of dangers. Om Madhyana Timarandhasya Janan Jana Salakya Chakshohun Militam Yena Tasmay Sri Gurave Namaha. So also I'd like to offer a prayer to the Srimad Bhagavatam. It's from the Padma Purana. Samsara sagre magnam dinamam kuruniti karma grihaya gritangam amudava bhavamaval. I've fallen into the ocean of repeated birth and death, and I am totally distressed. My karma is like crocodiles ready to bite me. O ocean of mercy, please pick me up from the ocean of material existence. Srimad Bhagavata Kiyayuyam Pratyaksha Krishna Vahi Vrikrita Shimaya Natta Murtayam Bhava Sagare. This Srimad Bhagavatam is actually Krishna himself. O my Lord, to get release from this cycle of birth and death, I have taken shelter at your lotus feet. Manarati madayayoyam sapala savatavaya nivaganeva kartavyam dashaham tava keshava. My dear Keshava, I am your servant. Please fulfill this desire of mine in serving you through the Srimad Bhagavatam. So, this verse, we're into the prayers of the demigods. We start to find out who this incarnation is, how special he is. This canto 10. So, I'll offer a prayer to the spiritual masters and Acharya. Om Madhyana Timarandasya Jananjana Salakaya Chakshon Militam Yena Tasmay Sri Gurave Namaha. Vancha Kalpatrupiyascha Kripa Sindhu Bhyevacha Patitanam Bhavana Bheryo Vaishnava Bheryo Namo Namaha. So in text 39, it said, O Supreme Lord, you are not an ordinary living entity appearing in this material world as a result of fruitive activities. Therefore, your appearance of the birth in this world has no other cause than your pleasure potency. Similarly, the living entities who are part of you have no cause for miseries. They have no cause for miseries like birth, death, and old age, except with them the living entities are conducted by the external energy. And then, so we have then the following text, which is today's text, where Krishna, he comes, but we find out it's under his pleasure potency. He's somehow or other, he gets pleasure in looking after the devotees. There's a sort of attachment for his devotees. We could say they're like children, but really, it's more intimate than you could say they're his children, because that means he's still in control. He's the supreme controller. Yet, the affection for his devotees controls him. So, he has to appear. He can't help himself. This is the wonder of Lord Krishna. This is much like you could say that with our relationships with each other, we should certainly try and help one another. We're sort of bound in some way in this relationship as of devotees together. We should somehow keep our harmony and help each other, because it's in serving each other that we start to find affection for each other. You know, it's an amazing thing that sometimes we don't get on, and that's a fact, but it's the service together that binds us, and that somehow or other we have to rise above these, you could say conditioned differences, because the modes of material nature are so strong. They could be said to be the biggest nuisance, because we see things differently. We have different realization and level of realization. But Krishna, he says that in the form of Lord Chaitanya, the person that chants these holy names is my devotee. So we're looking at the transcendental viewpoint. That Krishna, if he started to look at our modes of nature, we're doomed. And our activities under the modes of material nature. Actually, if he looked at that part of us, we couldn't even start our devotional service. So, it says, I think it's three times in this, the mercy, the mercy, the mercy. This and the different types of mercy that we get from the Lord. And this is a wonderful thing when we look into the depths and of different mercies. And what I'd like to do is, if I can find this Bhagavatam, we were reading recently in Asanga, chapter 17. Of Canto 1. It's where King Parikshit welcomes, in some way, is in fact opposes Kali. And but also he encounters two great personalities, one in the form of a bull, Lord of Religion, Dhammaraj, you could say, and then Bhumi Devi in the form of cow. And he sees their suffering. And he says to the boar, bull, who has caused this suffering? And that's a wonderful question, because he saw everything that's happening on an external point of view. But we look again in the depths of his question. Who has caused this suffering? And so we can look at ourselves and say to who has caused our suffering? You know, because the question is the same question we should ask our, the Lord is asking us, who has caused our suffering? And basically, we sort of know part of the truth. Somebody tell me what part of the truth, you know, what has caused our suffering? Sorry? Somebody say something? Yeah. We have. Yeah. In what way? Okay. We've implicated ourselves in the activities. Could you be more specific? Oh, yeah. So it was our desire that brought us here to be separate from Krishna. That thing called desire. Interesting. So this is the desire that takes us away from what is the bona fide desire? To serve, yeah. So the bona fide desire is to serve. But interesting, we still serve, though, even though we came into this world. But who are we serving? Ourselves. So we're still in service, but we should understand, you know, and I say this often, that it's a lonely place, actually. Very lonely place when we think we are at the center of service. So we suffer. Why? Because we can only look at ourselves. And it's not a pretty picture. You know, I speak from my own point of view. Maybe it is from your point of view. But from my point of view, it's not a pretty picture. So I would go into deep depression if I think about myself. You know, so the whole idea of what we have with Srimad Bhagavatam is it's a rescue mission. It's like to take us away from thinking about ourselves and thinking about Krishna. So it says, please protect us by your mercy by diminishing the disturbances of this world. What are the disturbances in this world? Can we say? In principle. Yeah. So it's the mind, the body, other living entities, and supernatural forces.
Natural forces.
Yeah, but they say supernatural when they mean demigod. It's above. It's sort of they're the controlling aspect. They sometimes say that demigods are behind this. So. But when we say what's above supernatural is transcendental. In other words, it's something that has nothing to do with this world. That it's the source, and so we have to know that these miseries. But what are the other miseries? Yeah, so it's sort of like a basic lesson to find out that somehow or other we chose to come here, birth, death, disease and old age, and all these other sufferings, by our choice. We're in a ludicrous situation. You know, isn't it? But in this world of illusion, the suffering of this world are those who don't believe that they're the cause of their sufferings, that in some way by their desire, that they don't understand that fact. But also, we find out that in that previous verse, somehow the Lord is behind this in some way. He has a pleasure potency. And those separated living entities that come into this world, we've forgotten that side, that we're his pleasure potency. That certainly it's a very nice explanation in chapter 3, text 37 purport, where Prabhupada describes our origin, that actually we are created for enjoyment, that we're the enjoyed. So it's sort of the opposite of this world. So how can we get back to that position? How can we realize where real enjoyment lies? Tell me, yes.
By associating with devotees who love God.
Yeah. With love of God.
By associating with those who love God.
Ah, yes. Yes, by associating with those who love God, who have a loving relationship with Krishna. In other words, but they also serve. You say devotees, but there's a devotee is not a devotee until he serves. You know, we call ourselves devotees, but if we don't want to serve, then how do we show our service or our love? You can't, can you? So without service, then we're definitely going to be depressed. You know, in devotional service, we can read the philosophy, but without actually practicing the philosophy, we'll never know what the honey tastes like in the pot of, you know, in the pot. We've got to taste it. And at first, I think it's Vishwanath Chakravarti talks about how, like, it's likened to, what's that disease where you lose the taste? Jaundice, yeah. You don't like sweet things. But the idea is the thing that you don't like, you've got to carry on with and take that sweet thing until the taste for sweetness comes back. And so that's the whole position of the living entity. So here, again, by Krishna's mercy, he's shown his sweetness in all these incarnations. They're amazing. It's so wonderful and fascinating. They should, what do they say, captivate. They're full of wonder, wonderful. And he says here, O best of the Yadus, we respectfully offer our obeisances to you. Shri Shri Radha Gokul Nanda Kijai, Shri Shri Gornitai Kijai, Shri Shri Sitaram Lakshman Hanuman Kijai. So, the very last verse in the Srimad Bhagavatam, I never seem to get the meter right, but I try and sing it. Namasankirtan yasya sarva papa pranashanam pranamo dukha samanas tams namani harim param. I offer my respectful obeisances unto the Supreme Lord Hari. The congregational chanting of whose holy names destroys all sinful reactions, and the offering of obeisances unto whom relieves all material suffering. So here we have they're chanting his names in this verse, and with each name there are pastimes. And so these names are very powerful in that they revive a memory that, as we read Krishna book, which Prabhupada gave us so early in the Canto 1, that we hear about these incarnations and we hear about Krishna. And really, it was... I heard Prabhupada's disciples, they spoke that we didn't know all this about Krishna. We didn't know who he was. But Prabhupada, in his mercy, again, he's like another incarnation of mercy. He came and showed us this mercy that's been brought to us through the Supreme Lord himself. So we have Krishna book. And we start to know on Canto 10 what it's based on, with the explanation of full philosophy. You know, there can be no doubts. We got the philosophy, but we got pastimes. And they're perfectly matched with Prabhupada and his purports. And so, but also it says here, the offering of obeisances. Such a strange thing, you know, and yet, so powerful in its effect, it relieves all material suffering. What is the act of obeisances? Can somebody suggest how we should feel? What's the mood of somebody offering obeisances?
Thy will, not mine.
Sorry, you said, thy will, not mine. Yes, thy will, not mine. Yeah, it's we're offering ourselves in a surrendered, so Prabhupada says, please do the needful. But we're not, he says, they're making no demands, isn't it? So obeisance is humbly requesting, isn't it? But also, it's also respecting the glory, isn't it? It's... His glory in that somehow he's bigger than all his power, in that he accepts our service in such a way that he comes in a helpless form, the Archavigraha, where he depends on us to put him to bed, to feed him, to wash him, and to generally make sure he's looked after and he's got nice clean clothes. So he gives us this mercy. It's intimate. And so he's given us the gift of intimacy. And we can see it in this world. There's always intimacy. The demon, they love their children. You know? And they'll do anything to make sure their children are brought up in the right way, like poor Prahlad Maharaj. Hiranyakashipu, he tried to bring him up the right way according to his principles. But they weren't the transcendental principles. They were of this world. So he felt affection for his son. He sat him on his lap. Lord Narsingadev sat Hiranyakashipu on his lap. And then he sat Prahlad Maharaj on his lap. So there's differences of sitting on the lap, of course, but still they're chastising. One's chastising the child, and the other one is affectionate protector. You know, and we can see that somehow it's a loving bond. And you notice, and I tell you, if you sit a child on your lap, paternal feelings will automatically arise. If you tell them something, you sit them on your lap, I know we're not supposed to do that now because child protection, all these things. You know, such a world, isn't it? But you'll notice this paternal affection. If you have a young person sitting on your lap or next to you and you tell them something and sweetness, it just melts your heart, actually. You feel instantly this natural paternal feeling. Of course, because we're parts and parcel of Krishna, they're there in all of us. Because we're parts of Krishna, we've inherited these characteristics, these intimate characteristics. He's not impersonal. So he shows his mercy in so many ways. But all the time, it's to do with devotion and bhakti. So somehow or other, that we have to let Krishna reveal himself in his intimacy. And Prabhupada says, eventually, one day, you'll find out what your relationship is with Krishna. So how do we do that? Can somebody say? Just in general terms. How do we find out our original identity, our relationship with Krishna? What are the principles? Sorry? By giving up this identity. But how can we do that? Because it's a negative, isn't it? Yeah. So, and what do we form then? When we form that relationship, what comes with the pure devotees and that whom we serve? Yeah. Yeah, mercy and love. You start to know them, isn't it? And you want to serve them. And their pleasure is another connection to Krishna. Because that's what pleases him when we serve his pure devotees. And so, without devotees, how can we get to know Krishna? We can't. Because they're his potency, empowered. So we get to know Krishna through and our relationship with our spiritual master, that we develop it in such a way that we get to know Krishna. Because it's the spiritual master that gives us service, that says, do this, do that. And that we know we're safe if we do it. But we're unsafe if we don't. That if we actually put our own interpretation on it, then we're not safe. So what should we do if we're having instruction? Act upon it, but if we're unsure? Sorry? If we're unsure? Ask. Yeah, ask. Inquire. It says, inquire from him submissively. I don't know what this means. What are you asking me to do? How can I do it? I'm unsure. And Prabhupada, I remember he said to Gaur Govinda Swami, he asked for money to develop Bhubaneswar. And Prabhupada, he said, look, I can tell you how to do it, but I won't give you money. I came to this place, this West, I did it with 40 rupees. Now, he says, this place is where you've lived your life. So you should have, it's not as though you're going into a strange place. You can do it, but you have to find your way. So, in a way, he gives us, the spiritual master sometimes gives us back our question, doesn't he? He says, you must think about it. You must contemplate it. It's part of our contemplation. How we can... And I don't know if you find it, you know, especially those who are more experienced than myself, that somehow, if you get an instruction, somehow you start to see new facets of that instruction that you can fulfill. that some things show themselves, that, oh, this is needed, this is needed, this is needed. Dhrutakarma was I talked to him about how did he get onto this sort of scientific sort of thing. And he said, actually, I just wrote articles for Back to Godhead. And they asked me to write certain articles on certain themes. And so he did. And then he started to do investigations into, you know, the history, archaeology, the human race, or whatever it is, and the scientific process of what is in this world that we can address to the intellectuals and the scientists, philosophers, that in such a way that we could become qualified to actually defeat them. So his developed just in a certain way, and it blossomed. So it stemmed from just doing articles and the thing. And then his affinity and then his service developed from that. So Prabhupada or your spiritual master, you know, may give you an instruction, but it may seem like quite an innocent instruction and obscure at the time. But gradually, in the course of time, Krishna reveals. Because he's time. And so what does he say? What's tied in with time? What quality should we have? Patience. And so gradually all these things that in our process of serving our spiritual master, hearing the pastimes of Krishna, reading about him, associating with devotees, that we'll start to develop a relationship, a loving relationship with devotees, and the Supreme Lord, because that's his reciprocation, his taste for his pastimes, taste for what we hear, taste for what we chant. It develops from that. But we have to stretch ourselves, because we have to do what we're told. And that's really difficult for the person that's come into this world. Now, there's one more purport I want to read, and it's from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 4. Oh, it's here. And it's when Dhruva Maharaj, the Lord revealed himself to Dhruva Maharaj, and Dhruva Maharaj, he spoke about how that when the Lord revealed himself, he realized his material desires were nothing, actually insignificant. So he says here, text 35. It's Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 4, Chapter 9, text 35. Translation, because of my taste of complete foolishness and paucity of pious activities, although the Lord offered me his personal service, I wanted material name, fame, and prosperity. My case is just like the poor man who, when he has satisfied a great emperor who wanted to give him anything he might ask, out of ignorance, he asked for a few broken grains of husked rice. So he didn't realize who the emperor was, and he didn't know what he could ask for. So it says here, in this verse, the word svarajyam, it says, which means complete independence, is very significant. A conditioned soul does not know what complete independence is. Complete independence means a situation in one's own constitutional position. So then it says, the real independence of the living entity, who is part and parcel of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, is to remain always dependent on the Supreme Lord, just like a child who plays in complete independence, guided by his parents, who watch over him. The independence of the conditioned soul does not mean to fight with the obstacles offered by Maya, but to surrender to Krishna. In the material world, everyone is trying to be completely independent simply by fighting against the obstacles offered by Maya. This is called for a struggle for existence. Real independence is to be reinstated in the service of the Lord. Anyone who goes to the Vaikuntha planets or Goloka Vrindavan, the planet, they freely offering their service to the Lord. That is complete independence. Just contrary to this material overlordship, which we wrongly take as independence. Many great political leaders have tried to establish independence, but due to their so-called independence, the people's dependence has only increased. The living entity cannot be happy trying to be independent in the material world. One has to surrender, therefore, to the lotus feet of the Lord and engage in his original eternal service. So that is independence. Surrender means dependence. And that is independence. Independence from what? We become independent from the material world. We are no longer affected by the power and obstacles of the material world. Because he says, if you become conscious of me, you'll cross over all material obstacles of life. If, however, if you act under false ego, you will fall down into the material existence. So that's interesting, isn't it? So all of a sudden that we find out our false ego is this attachment to this world and this body and our selfishness. So we have to be conscious of Krishna. And the way we become conscious of Krishna is to be conscious of our dependence. That we can do nothing without Krishna. And that's the reality. Nothing. And yet we try and be the best singer, the best orator, the best this and best that. Such foolishness. Because that's an obstacle in our devotional service. You know, I can see it in some Prabhus here, they're amazing. Because of their humbleness, they'll try anything and everything, not based on their ability, but because they're told to do it. That their austerity is that they overcome their lack, what seemingly is their lack of ability. But Krishna sees that actually it's the service attitude, our consciousness that this is for Krishna, that is our saving grace. That is for his pleasure, not my pleasure. So I can disappear and do off what I ever want. Get my service over with. It's not like that. The service you should become, Prabhupada explains, a surrendered soul sees that everything is part of Krishna's plan. No matter what I am doing now, I'm meant to be doing. Let me do it with my full attention, no matter what it is. Let all other considerations be forgotten. And my only motive is Krishna's alone pleasure. So that's the reality, because you're living in the now, not what you want to do. Not this false ego. It'll trick you, it'll cheat you. It'll drag you away from what you're meant to be doing. And you'll lose that chance for that intimate yoga. Because that's what he's looking for. This nice loving relationship from us. So, Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai, Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai. Any comments, questions?